Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How many, what's this, our podcast, what number?
This is 115.
No, yeah. More than that.
Well, that's not including the bonus episodes, but this is, as our normal, 115th episode.
Why are you speaking so quickly? Have you been doing some... is that why you just went to the loo, doing some feed?
No, I just talk. I talk quickly a lot of the time.
Do you?
Yeah, talk right. Very quickly a lot of the time. Hey, listen, great podcast. Vicky Patterson is on today. A really, really, really good friend of mine, actually.
Fantastic. Really, actually, much better friend of mine.
No, so. She doesn't. I said, hey, Vicky, you want to come do the podcast? She's like, with you, Jamie, anything. I said, oh, my buddy and I, we co-host it. She said, who's your buddy? I went, Francis Bull. She went, who? I went, Francis Bull. And she went, well, that's, who's that?
Well, you know what she said to me? She said, I was really disappointed that Jamie didn't send a message to say, sorry to hear about you and your... fiance, whereas I obviously had a lot of phone calls with her at the time just to make sure she was doing all right.
You phoned her a lot and she's like, who is this stranger that's phoning me every single time?
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, listen, right. Hey to all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in again.
Remember, this is a great episode for many reasons, but most of all because we find out the GDP per capita of Newcastle,
which you're probably going to be super excited for. Hey, listen, remember, subscribe, comment, review, follow us on Instagram.
And
at
actually,
Private
there's
Park.
A bit of a secret that she reveals. Isn't
there is a secret.
Yeah, from the old celebrity jungle.
Follow us on Instagram at Private Podcast.
Also, at Francis Bull.
Also,
at Francis Dot Bull.
Also, send us a mail. Why not? Please send us a mail.
You just want a glory hole.
79
to glory hole, the postman.
79-81 Borough Road, SE11DN. Is it? That's right, isn't it? I'll say that again. SE11DN. Also, please email us. Contact at privatepartspodcast.com. You can send us anything you want to, any reviews, anything at all, whether you want to hear us. And on that note, Mr. Bull.
Vicky Patterson.
That's the thing about you, Vicky, is that you're such a host. You're already hosting. You already are. You're already.
How's this? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I've got yeah, yeah. Do you think you're being ignored?
He already did.
I'm here.
I'm here. Guys, can you hear me?
Hello.
You look like, what are you, why are you sitting like so weird? They don't, what are you, how many podcast episodes have we done? 130 and you're freaking out.
Okay.
Have you done 130?
I don't know. Yeah, I reckon 100, maybe more, maybe 100, and maybe including bonus episodes, 130 maybe.
So hang on a fucking second. It's yeah, taking you this long to ask me.
There
no,
we go.
No,
we
go. No, it's, are you ready for this?
Yeah, but I just have to lean forward, I guess.
And use your spine, all right? With
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Oh. It hasn't taken me 100. I've asked you so many times.
That's a lie.
I would
always say yes.
That is not a lie. You were on one of the first podcasts, but on a call, I phoned you up once because ages ago, and that was on the podcast.
I knew you were up to something, yeah. But I was like stressed and running around shopping for Dubai. And I couldn't find a dress for the races, so you
shopping
didn't get me
to buy what?
A dress for the races for Dubai. I can see what you did there.
What? What did he say?
Well, I said I was shopping for Dubai, and he's like, Dubai what?
slow over here.
Did you go see Sheikh Mohammed's horses?
I mean, I don't know whose horses they were specifically. I didn't see a lot of them.
Whose manhood was someone shaking?
Did you go to the, what's it called, the World Cup?
Yes, yeah. I did those ones.
I went to that. God, it was an awful one. The two horses broke their legs.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it was horrible.
But France is quite
But then I rode it. His. Well, I rode one of his horses.
France is quite likes that. Francis, when he watches like Formula One, he's like, oh, I just hope there's a crash. And when horses are jumping,
Formula One, I do find it is exciting when there's a crash in Formula One, definitely. But I mean, obviously, it's way more exciting when there's a big pile up than if they just go around with no collisions, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very morbid attitude.
No, but obviously they're
more
quite safe,
right?
They're safe.
Do you know what, also, I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. I'm feeling a little bit sick today.
Oh.
Yeah, what? Just so you know that.
I'm not feeling on top of the world, like.
Yeah.
I was feeling a bit unwell the past few weeks, but I'm feeling much better now.
Oh, good. Well, glad for you.
You smuggins.
Glad for you that you're feeling way better.
Sorry, guys.
You've been the incubus that gave it to us.
I've been to the bathroom 8 times today.
Oh, hang on a second. That was a bold move.
None of it was bold or anything. It was not. And I was like, oh.
To actually have a bath or just.
I didn't. What do you mean have a bath?
8 baths.
No, I went.
You had 8 baths today.
No, I went to the toilet.
You're talking about twosies, Francis.
Oh, yeah.
You did several paninis.
Yeah, what? I did it.
Do we call them that, do we?
That's a panini.
What? It's definitely not a panini. It's more
panini's
like
a number 2.
Oh, that's like a nice term for it.
It's more like a side portion of mushy peas, if anything.
Oh God.
No, I just have a chesty cough, guys. I'm not panini.
I had a chesty cough, but I'm getting over it.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. I'm very excited today. One of my just the greatest people that I know, Vicky Patterson, has joined us. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Jamie.
Welcome.
Hey, dude, you're just the greatest.
No.
You are.
No, you are the greatest.
This is how we like start off the podcast.
Do you do this with everyone?
We start off being really polite and then we really start to go really dark
just
after that.
Just into the depth.
Yeah, we just kind of like, that's what we kind of do, I think, in this kind of world.
I am up for it. Let's do it.
But I do. I feel a little bit under the weather and I don't know why. I feel
it's because you wake up too early and you burn the candle at both ends.
What do you mean I burn the candle at both ends?
Well, you go out, to all your dancing clubs, put on your dancing shoes, you come back at 4 in the morning and then you wake up at 6 in the morning and go to the gym. That's...
Do you? Really?
It's a recipe for a weak immune system.
Well, I don't know. I take inspiration from you, Vicky, because you like going to the gym.
I do, yes. Although I have been a little bit lazy recently.
Because it's so hard to keep it up.
Yeah, I think it's the first thing that falls to the wayside when you are busy with work or when you do have a very active social life.
But then weirdly, because I heard something that... And I
unless
don't
you socialise at the gym and also...
Yeah.
You work at the gym.
Does anyone socialise at the gym?
You could do one of those...
sweat working.
Is that what they call it?
Sweat working at the gym, yeah.
Sweat working. That's, I like that.
I flirt at the gym.
That doesn't surprise me. You flirt everywhere.
No,
not everywhere. You flirt everywhere.
I'm not flirting with you now.
Are you not?
Yeah. I suddenly got a bit shy. I suddenly actually became slightly shy. You looked at me and I became shy.
It's just one of my many talents.
Wait, didn't you try and like get some girl's number at the gym and then she just never called? And you said, oh, by the way, you should Google me.
Did you drop that?
No, Vicky, do you really think I dropped that? No. Well, I'll tell you.
You texted her and then she didn't text back and you said, oh, by the way, you should Google me.
No, I didn't say that ever. No, what happened was...
Google my net worth.
Yeah, Google how rich I am. Google, you want to see my flat? Come on, you want to see my flat? It's got a garden. You want to see it? And a gardener who I beat.
Because I'm that rich.
And no one can touch me. That's what I said to her.
It's her loss. It really is.
So what actually happened?
No, so Vicky, I went to... Okay, I want to ask you, have you ever been... You must have been chatted up in the gym.
In the gym. This takes like hours of careful construction. The gym version of me is... a lot less attractive. Okay. And sort of more aggressive, like I'm into it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
oh, pre-workout.
Yeah, yeah, full of it, like you're not, skin.
Are you a huffer and puffer? Are you?
Not so much a huffer and puffer, but I am a swearer, which is going to surprise absolutely nobody I know, but I'm like...
What, you swear at people in the gym?
Yeah, just randomly. No, when I'm working out, I'm like, fuck! And I don't mind who he has, I've got no shame, because it's my workout.
Okay, so then, so in the gym you swear, you're like, fuck, oh God. But then during sex, what do? You just go, sorry, help.
No, that's when I do my huffing and puffing.
Huffing and puffing during sex.
Yeah, it's too much cardio for me.
Huffing and puffing during sex is what I do.
Oh, God, why do you sound like a pirate?
I always drink rum before sex.
Asthmatic pirate.
I always drink rum. I'm always hammered. You're shivering my...
Look at me plank.
Climb my mast.
That would work for me.
Okay, if we went on a date,
yes,
and at the end of the date, I leaned into your ear, and went, climb my mast. You would.
Oh fuck! Now my clothes would be off like that.
Climb my mast.
Climb my master.
You went so West Country there.
That's what I say when I have sex, and I go, climb my master.
Your master? What?
Because I'm calling them my master. Climb my master! Climb! Okay, tell me. You're obviously very beautiful. You're very charismatic. All those things. Where is the place? Where's the weirdest place that you've been chatted up? Or do guys sometimes find it hard to approach you?
I don't feel like I get chatted up an awful lot. Most of my, like, activity, romantic activity, I suppose, it happens up in the DMs.
But that's the way it happens these days, isn't it?
It is the way society is going.
Yeah.
But also...
more and more DMs.
But also, I think it's kind of hard sometimes. It's tricky to date, right? It's also, how do you meet people? If you're working so much, you're going up and down the country, how do you...
Which DMs specifically do people slide into?
Up into Insta ones.
Oh, yeah, Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't use any of the dating...
Well, I have actually tried to be on a dating app and it didn't go so well.
Why not?
Well, have you heard of Rhea?
Yeah, I got rejected from it.
I
got
rejected.
They
didn't want me. Are you on it? Or?
Yeah, no, I know.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Just meant it's like, good news.
Oh wow! Congratulations. Actually, it is. I'm a very lucky guy.
But mine was like a few years ago. I got rejected, so I reckon.
But you've tried quite a few times. You just won't take no for an answer.
I also have gone to different names, and somehow they find out.
Relentless.
Different pictures, different names. They always just go no.
You're like, is this why you got the hair transplant?
Yeah, it's like, it's true. The guys who own Raya.
I have hair now.
The guys who own Raya were literally like, no, your hairline doesn't work for our page. And I went, all right, fine, I'll pay for a new one.
Fine, I'll get a new one and I'll get some Botox while I'm at it.
Oh, gosh, diddle. But so how does, because, and also I'm sure we can probably say this, you've had a tricky year in terms of love and things like that. You really have. And I think with you, you've it's been tough for you just with boys and things like that, just in general.
I just don't have, I'm not going to play the victim or anything like that here. Like, I really don't have very good luck. And I'm also, I pick the worst guys. Like, I will hold my hand up and say, I've got terrible taste. Like, I just fancy
your type?
Utter cunt.
Yeah. Spencer's not that much of a cunt.
Oh, God. I forgot.
Yeah, I think everyone forgets that. Everyone forgets Spencer. That.
But what happened? You and Spencer?
No, it was nothing. I'm only kidding. It was just Josh.
I kissed him.
They just had a kiss and that was about it. And then it was just whatever.
But then sort of traditionally, what's the utter cunt? Can you describe, go into a bit more detail.
Okay, so I am so superficial, and it's just it is a real character flaw, because I actually love when I've got a connection with someone on a different level, like when you laugh nonstop, or when like the challenge you, like mentally, it's just, I don't know, I pick these guys who just look a certain way and I don't get stimulated at all. So
dude, it's so true. Okay, so I'm gonna sort of say this as well.
Do you feel like, who are you gonna offend?
Yeah. Just thought, oh god, because I'm newly single now.
I've seen.
Yeah, so
you've seen.
Yeah.
No, I mean, so obviously I saw him on Rhea.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The other one that neither of you.
Because we have to go through someone else's Rhea to have a look who's on it. But yeah, I do the same as you. I think what happens is that I meet someone who I think is, and this is not, I'm not talking about any girlfriend in particular. I'm just saying past rate, not my ex. Anyway, get that.
Just get that foot out of your mouth.
But I do the same. I find people that I think I really like, and I don't really know them, and then I kind of just go for them, and it doesn't really work out. And you're like, well, why doesn't it work out? I suppose there does.
Because there's nothing there other than the fact that you want to take their clothes off. That's why. And we romanticize the idea of them. We romanticize everything else. So just because I fancy someone, I'm like, you know what? He is so kind. And he's so supportive of my career. And he's the first man who's ever done this and this. And then actually, three, four, even like 6 months down the line, I realised I just fancied him. And he was none of those things. But then I'm fucking in too deep. I've told all the press. I've had him on my Instagram. I'm balls deep in this relationship. And he's a total tosser. Yeah. Every fucking time.
I love it that you're balls deep into this relationship.
It's very hard to meet a man who can compete with me on most levels.
Compete with my plank.
But it's incredible.
But it's so, and because you are one of these people who have a lot of love to give. You are super funny and everything. So it's kind of it's strange that sometimes I would think that it would work and you'd be snapped up in a heartbeat. But is it because some guys potentially find? Because guys can be quite proud sometimes, right? And so they can, I suppose you're in the public eye, you're incredibly successful, you're doing super well, all those different things, and you're working all the time. And so for some guys, it's probably a bit like they're following you occasionally. And do they find that hard or no?
First of all, let me just say thank you. I absolutely love being here. It's great for myself.
Yeah. Don't worry, he's big you up all the entire time.
I think
that what he's trying to say, I think, is do the guys you date have to get regular spray tans because they're living in your shadow?
Guys, so I can't really tar them all with the same brush, although it does feel like I have a specific like type I go for. I think it's hard for a fella. I think women have to deal all the time with blokes who've got successful careers and busy schedules.
Completely.
And we're just expected to be all right with it and have the tea waiting on the table or whatever. I mean, I'm going back a couple of years there and being stereotypical, but nonetheless. Whereas when the roles are reversed and a man has to deal with, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be around for the next 2 weeks because I've got this new show. Or, what do you mean you're mad? I was out all night. It was an event. Or,
where's my tea?
Where's my dinner? They act like they're fine initially because it's exciting, isn't it? Because they're getting papped or they're getting more Instagram followers.
You love it.
I go for. That's my bread and butter right there. But it's totally true. And then what happens is that it's quite exciting. It's quite fun. And it's all this, and you intro them to a fun world, and they get so. But then also, do the guys become jealous? Or what happens?
The reality of being with like a strong woman or a successful woman or someone who's in the limelight in general isn't as fun as the idea of it, because you walk into a room sometimes and I think people want to speak to you or me, and unfortunately sometimes they don't necessarily want to speak to the person you're with as much, which is rude, and I don't agree with it. But it takes someone who is very secure with themselves and very confident and has enough self-worth to know that situation doesn't matter. But I think men feel emasculated, and I think that's what it boils down to. So they act out in ways that are traditionally masculine by going and shouting
to try and validate themselves.
Exactly. It's not my job to make these people feel like a man. That's their fucking job.
I love that. I feel really masculine, so I'm just going to go and have sex with loads of people now to make me feel way better.
To make me feel like I've got a fucking great dick.
Yeah.
FYI, it was shit.
Oh, Oh, you gee, I love that. Mate. But also, how, if you then, I went to this wedding, right, in Brazil with one of my friends, and it was amazing. And I think I told you this, Francis, and they did their talk speeches at the end. And
their talk speeches?
They did their talk speeches.
We're supposed to do the mind speeches,
which can be quite boring.
Supposed to do the gesture speeches. Which can get a bit confusing. And
isn't that just sign language?
Yeah, the gestures. Yeah. Sign language. But they did the speaking speeches rather than the other ones. And it was amazing because my friend Cozzy, who's getting married, said, you know, I met Lila, my wife, and she was amazing, incredible. And first time I met her dad, we went to her house and we watched one of her short movies she made. And halfway through it came up and said, what is the meaning of life? And she turned to her dad and said, Dad, Papa, what's the meaning of life? And he said, my daughter, the meaning of life is to love.
Aww.
Yeah. And Cozzy, my friend, in his speech said, yeah, I've realized now that the meaning of life is to love. Mm. And that's what you want to have. So what do you think in terms of relationship? What do you think is the equation, the answer to a successful relationship?
I mean, you're asking someone who's single and being fucking booted from Ria.
Well, I'm the same, honey.
They should make a new app for you guys called Ria Jacks.
The meanest thing anyone's ever said to me.
But I'd still sign up in a jiffy. I'd sign up.
I obviously have no cornerstone for reference. I can't necessarily answer that. Looking at relationships that I know are successful, grandma and granddad, for example, and things like that. Like, I think you have to be. I think it's harder in our day and age to find someone because there's so many different distractions. Whereas back in the day, you just fell in love with someone in school and it was dead straightforward. There was someone in your DM.
It was so easy, wasn't it? God, how amazing was it when you would only have text messaging at
before 50,
and you'd put your phone on the windowsill or wait for it to see if someone would text. You didn't know what they were doing, and it was
a carrier pigeon.
Yeah, and then when you sent nudes and they were super pixelated and
No,
I didn't do that.
Sounds like
on my 8310 sending nudes.
I remember ringing people and being like, "Is James coming out to play?" Can you remember that?
Did you used to do that?
I remember.
Wait, hang on. Explain this. So firstly, who is James? Was he the first guy you fancied?
No. The first guy I ever fancied. The first guy I ever was a boy called Jimmy Baldwin.
Oh, Jimmy Baldwin.
Jimmy Baldwin. I really hope he doesn't listen to
sounds
this.
Like, I don't think he sounds knows. Like a total lad.
Yeah.
He was such a lad. He had the squarest jaw I've ever seen.
Sick.
I love a good fucking jawline.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah. I'm probably talking to the wrong people.
We have strong jaws. Yeah. mine's just long and pointy. Like my neck goes into a jaw. So how old were you at this point?
Must have been it must have been high school, but it's 12, 13, 13, yeah. About that.
And
I just got boobs.
so he was excited.
I don't know how good they were back then. They've took a while to sort of get the right shape.
But did you then kiss him?
So yours, Jamie.
Yeah, mine's got implants. Did you just kiss him or did you not kiss him?
We kissed eventually, yeah, but it took a while. I was quite shy. I wasn't
But so at school, were you a shy child?
I was I was pretty ugly till I was about...
So is Francis, don't worry about that.
you have grown so in those years.
I like the past tense you use, Jamie, and I appreciate that.
Of course, buddy. So you were insecure.
Major ugly duckling phase from about sort of like what? Seven till about 12. And I was super into school and I loved being almost a teacher's favourite pet, whatever.
What was your favourite subject?
I liked English. I really was fascinated by words.
I love that. That's so good news. So it hangs through the new good in school. And then, but also having your ugly duckling period from 7 to 12 is fine. Yeah. Because that's not the time where you're out hooking up with boys.
And
I had an ugly duckling period from about 14 to
30.
16.
You're fucking mean.
He was also literally waiting for that moment. I could see him get excited as if, because he knew I was about to say it. And he was
so thrilled with himself.
She's shouting at that.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
But I did have this until I was about 16, and
that's
it's
a hard age.
It's a really, really hard age. So you then were 12, and then you kind of came out of this, and then what happened? You became a bit more secure. What were you
just
like?
The boobs came, which was great, and I had really bad skin, and my skin sort of like chilled out, calmed down a bit. I just got less interested in school and more interested in boys, so subsequently my appearance. I mean, in retrospect, I'm not sure if I made the right decision. God knows what I would have been capable of if I'd stuck in. But then
it's interesting because then you kind of go, did you go to uni or no?
I did, yeah.
What uni did you go to?
Liverpool John Moores.
And what did you study?
Drama, media, and cultural studies.
Hey, what's up, honey? Yes, a thespian over here as well. Bring it home. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What did you do, Francis?
Philosophy and economics.
That was my second choice.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, was on the tip of my tongue when I was there. Oh, I was literally like, no, I'll do drama. Yeah.
Sounds like it's going to be fun.
Sounds like it. But then the interesting thing about you, Vic, so you were this smart, and not saying, because listen, hey, we've done reality TV and things like this, but you went to university like we did. Mm-hmm. You were obviously intelligent growing up. You kind of knew about things, but then like us, you decided to go down this route of going on TV and doing reality TV. What was your decision to do that?
There wasn't a huge thought process. Mm. And I think it was a decision I jumped into very quickly and naively, especially given the information I have now.
In what way though? Why?
Well, reality TV, I mean, this week is probably the most...
Exactly, mental health awareness week.
It's a super current topic. But I think it's difficult at times, and I think it's a very invasive, given the nature of it, sort of process. And I don't necessarily think I was strong enough to do it at times, and I am strong. So I think... I regret certain things I've done on it, but I don't necessarily regret the whole process.
So you're if you could go back in time, would you still have done it?
Yes, because I really like money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Same. I love it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm loaded. It is my gardener. But it's true. But the thing is that I think you're probably like us, and your reality TV is a thing for some reason that a lot of people want to go and do, and they want to, you know, you say to, when we were younger, we wanted to be like an artist or a musician or an astronaut. Now people want to be YouTubers and gamers,
influencers
and
now people have portfolio careers, right? So, right. You know, where you know, we have our business, we have a podcast, you know, different things. You do more than just, you know, one job.
Oh, it's almost like a plethora.
Yeah, you have so many different, and same with you. You know,
but that's what I'm saying with you, Vicky, is that you obviously saw it as an opportunity, and you saw, right, okay, I'm going to use this as a platform to kind of just go and do other things. But why did you, because you are very strong, but why did you find, and what we're talking about is you started doing a show called Geordie Shore, mm-hmm. and it was it still is. Well, it, not, I don't know if it still is, but it was immensely popular.
I think it's.
I mean, you guys.
Weaned slightly.
Yeah, I think it's like all these shows.
Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah. But it was super popular, and not only just in the UK, you were popular all around the world because it was MTV.
63 countries, right?
Which is huge.
63. Oh, because it's MTV, right?
Yeah, so it's international brand.
But was it instant fame, or was it kind of a slow process fame? Because at the beginning, I seem to remember that you got a lot of hate because it was about you guys getting drunk and doing these different things, and they were like, "You're showing
what did you call
Newcastle."
What do you call it when you
getting mortal?
No, getting mortal. But then you also had that other word when you're shagging with it.
Shagging?
Shagging, I think. Yeah,
yeah really?
Do you think it's what are you
no,
talking
no,
about?
I remember you had some word that I forgot.
Fucking?
yeah.
No, wait. Didn't we? Yeah, okay.
Didn't we do it? But what was the thing? What I find interesting is that was it a slow process? You went and did this TV show and they kind of sort of said, right, you're going to live in this house together and you don't know these people, but you kind of got to date them and then you've got to go on nights out and things like that. Did you suddenly realise that you were famous, or did it come as like a slow burner?
So our rise, so to speak, was entirely different to something that the people from Made in Chelsea or the people from TOWIE would have experienced. So,
more overnight, yeah.
Oh no, ours was a slow burner.
Oh really?
So TOWIE was based on obviously a load of Essex girls and guys being very glamorous, being like almost like a weekend millionaire vibe, like fancy cars, rich daddies, all that sort of thing. But in Essex, it was fascinating. I loved it. I still do. Mm-hmm. But the girls looked great. They'd been told you're going to film at 10 a.m. So they'd gone and had their makeup done, they'd gone and had their hair done, they'd picked out their outfit and they looked amazing. So they were ready to just fall into the pages of these magazines. And yeah, they might have cried one time, or like they might have shouted on camera, but it was nothing. It was normal stuff that people could relate to. Made in Chelsea, it provided people with a sense of escapism. It was so glam, and it was these gorgeous destinations and these people who just looked so unattainable. Like again, they were ready to be famous straight away. On the flip side of all that, there was Geordie Shaw, and we were controversial. We were car crash TV. And I was fine with that because it was funny and it was fast-paced and people loved it, but we were not ready to be accepted at that time. So people didn't want one in the magazines because we looked like shit. They didn't want one on their TV shows because we're considered loose cannons. I was skint.
Really?
I was making more money in a call centre and working on like a VIP rope than I was when I was doing Geordie Shaw initially.
Are you serious?
It was so bad that MTV had to give her a retainer because we were making no money and some of us were having to go back to work.
Oh my God. And so you're kind of...
So they were kind of taking advantage, you know?
Well, I mean, there's been so many accusations thrown around, and this week in particular, but I think they made a TV show. Like, we can't now criticise them because there's so many people done so incredibly well. But I think at the time they didn't realise like how much I didn't realise how much I was essentially being exploited, really. Mm.
And you don't realise, and also you're in this environment, and you've taken like a scary road because there's no security, right? It's like there's no security. As you're saying, you're not making any money. You're kind of having to work different jobs at different times, but then you're also on TV, and it was a huge show in 63 different countries. But then you weren't being accepted, and you were, you know, you still are super young. You were the same age as me, but back then,
like that's a bit of a bone of contention.
Yeah. We're still super young. Whatever, man. Hey, still 22. But you were, and as a, you know, we're all insecure and we all have our issues. Yeah. But how tricky was it to deal with that kind of like hate and that kind of like situations?
I absolutely wasn't used to it. So like Newcastle, like for me, I was a bit of a big fish in a small pond. I used to do the VIP ropes. I used to host in nightclubs. I had an attitude similar to that girl downstairs.
Yeah. Who, whenever she sees me, goes, "You're just a hunk, Jamie." What people down the road, when I walk down the road, I walk past people and they go, "God, you're hunky."
Yeah, I bet they do.
Really? Yeah, they do it all the time.
Who do they say that to?
To me. I hear them go, "Hunky."
To his gardener who's walking behind him with all of his tools. Pushing a wheelbarrow. Being beaten.
Carry those tools. but you were doing the ropes, you're working in the nightclubs, doing those kind of things.
So I was quite well liked and quite well known, and like I think it was it was just a nice little life that I had going for myself. I knew I wasn't meeting me potential, essentially, and I knew that it wasn't for life, but it was fun. I was actually young then.
Hey, we're all young. Yeah.
We're 22. That's fine.
Young and hunky.
Yeah, young and hunky. So you were living this nice life, having a really sweet time, and it was great.
And then I got approached for Geordie Shore, and everything changed, and you are suddenly having every single one of your actions scrutinized. And you have no right to be mad or angry because
you signed up.
You put yourself in that position to have your life, to have for everyone to have an opinion on it. So it was a really difficult time for us to get my head around. And I didn't act incredibly well. I did a lot of stuff that I'm not proud of initially in the early stages in particular. So some people hated us. And I was hated for a long time.
Really, were you?
Oh my God, so much. Like initially,
I didn't think I'd be able to deal with that. I think I would.
Definitely wouldn't.
No, I would. Yeah, Francis, nor would you, man. Come on.
Being hated.
I would really hate being, especially now I'm fine with it. If people wanted to say whatever now, but at the beginning, yeah. I would have really struggled.
Well, I guess because you think it, you think it's going to be like, forever, right?
Well, I thought
you think you're going to be hated forever.
Well, yeah, you do. You catastrophize it, right? Yeah. So you go like, oh my God, this is for life. And I'm never going to get a job. No one's going to marry me. Like that. I'd go down that road. That's what I would think.
I almost had a self-fulfilling prophecy. I was so many people hated us and thought I was this bitch and this monster. That I almost just played up to it.
Yeah, and it becomes a sort of identity that you kind of play into. Yeah,
you become a caricature of yourself. Mm. I was people expect me to say something a bit catty and whatever, so then here you go, here it is.
So you were just playing into that sort of character that...
What would you say your caricature of yourself is?
Well, weirdly, I don't think I have one. I think that I have a heightened version of myself, for sure.
Which is probably just a definition of a character.
I have a heightened character of myself. No, but the reason why I've been... I think that this is what I worked out the other day. I was talking to someone about... You know, with Chelsea, right? I still do Made in Chelsea because of lots of different reasons and things like that. But
Fame.
Yeah, mainly just for the
Instagram
fame.
Followers.
Just the constant pool of fit young women keep bringing
God,
in.
Who's next? right, but I do it because a lot of people who do that show come on the TV show and they play a certain role and they play a character. Mm. And they play this character and it becomes exhausting and tiring. And they're a bit like, oh God, and they just can't redo it. And so they then leave. For me... Because I'm pretty similar to myself, I don't really feel that it's much of an effort to kind of play things.
As well, and I hate to play this card where it's like, well, it's different on Geordie Shore, but on Made in Chelsea, it's just so fucking glam.
Yeah,
like,
true.
You just swan into the Bluebird and be like, guys, let's go skiing.
yeah. I've got the jet outside.
You know what? Fuck it. Let's go cons. And I'm like, what? I'm watching it livid. I don't even know where my passport is, you prick. So it's just
different. True. And you're thrown into a house where and you weren't allowed phones or anything.
So no phones, no contact with the outside world, because in particular they wanted to put you in this bubble, so everything you felt was heightened. So if I was, for example, be able to ring me mum, or able to be on the phone, or able to flick through a mag, or even read a book, then I would have not been as bothered that Gary'd fingered Charlotte. I wouldn't have cared. But in that moment, when you have no book, you have no family,
they take it all away from you?
You have everything taken away. You have no outside stimulus. That is your life.
Oh,
so
no.
The fact that she got fingered was fucking massive news.
Yeah. Totally, yeah.
Huge. Like,
and but I guess it makes you all appear like that's really what you care about talking
vapid,
about. Yeah.
Fingering-obsessed idiots. Yeah.
But then the interesting thing happened with you, Vicky.
Who isn't, let's face it.
Yeah. But then, Vicky, with you, which is so interesting, is that you
I
then...
I can't stop thinking about you fingering someone. Yeah.
France is doing it. Yeah.
No, you are. I know you're thinking about him.
I'm thinking about it.
Why are you making everyone else think about that?
I'm not making anyone
think about it. I was thinking about Jamie fingering himself.
No, that's an image.
I've told this story before, but I'll tell you, Vicky, I once, when I didn't really understand the woman anatomy.
Did you go the wrong hole?
No, I didn't put up her pooper. No, I did not
do that. Her panini maker. Yeah,
No, I did not put it up the panini maker. I remember, honestly, I remember it so well. I was about 16. Like, and I came back into my boarding house because I was boarding, and I honestly kicked open the doors like it was a Western, and I went, "Hello, boys." And they were like, and everyone stopped and looked at me like, and I was like, "Hey, how you doing?" Like spitting in like a cup. Ding.
Yeah.
And I went, "You never guess what happened to me, boys."
Oh, no.
And they were like, "What?" And I went, "Fingered a girl, didn't I?" And they went, "Oh, really?" And I went, "Yeah." And I went, "Ah." And I went, "Yeah, you have to know this. You know when you go inside the vagina and you go in and you're fingering them and you find their clitoris and they're inside like that." And all the boys went, "Huh?" And I, and I went, "Sorry, what?" They went, "You know when..." They went, "What did you say that again?" I went, "Well, the clitoris is inside, like, all the way in the vagina." And they all looked at me like, "What is going on?"
Like you're Christopher Columbus of the vagina.
But it is. It was scary back then for boys. But you then, with you, you came out of Geordie Shore and you made that decision to leave it.
Yes.
And how hard was that? Because to have to kind of step away from something that's not secure, to go into a life which potentially even is less secure, yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, it's hugely scary. There was this like real moment of clarity for me, I think, when I was in Geordie Shore. Mm. And at the time I had a fella who, I mean, you've aforementioned... Dickhead, yeah. Different dickhead, but still dickhead.
Who had proposed to you?
No, I don't think he had.
Oh, had he not?
There's been a couple who have, but no, he had not.
He hadn't proposed.
No proposal from this one. Anyway, I was with him at the time, and he was not from the show. He was outside, and he was like a businessman, and he was quite normal and nice, and not nice, but normal. And I was just disinterested in the drama, the fingering, etc. And I was lying in bed, and they were all out doing something, and I'd come home early and had like a face mask on and was reading a book. I think it was like World War.
Yeah. World War 12.
Yeah. Something.
War and Peace. Yeah. Something like
and,
that.
And this runner come like steaming into the room and he's like, "She's just lying on her bed. Yeah. She's got a book." And the person, or whoever was speaking to the producer, was like, "Well, fucking get out and put it down." But so he come over to me and he was like, "I have to take your book. It's so off brand."
What? No.
And I was like, "They're about to burst in here, kicking and screaming, throwing up, shouting about who's necked on with who and who's going to fucking leave this night and about how wicked Bijou is." And I'm lying here reading a book and you consider that a bad message for me to be putting out. And in that moment, I just was like, put the book down. And the next day I was like, I've got to leave. Like,
yeah.
I'm no longer the person that I was when I started. I don't know if I ever truly was that or just wanted...
Were you playing along?
Wanted to be what you wanted me to be. And so I left. So I went and I did take a huge leap of faith because MTV were mad that I'd gone. They wanted me to stay a little bit longer. But I was desperate to be a TV presenter. I was desperate to spread my wings and try new stuff. So I had to.
And you've got
to
take risks in life.
Of course.
Otherwise, you know, you don't have anything to gain if you don't take risks.
Nothing exciting ever happens in your comfort zone.
No. You've got to get it out of your comfort zone to grow.
Yeah, exactly. To get something you never had, you have to do something you never did.
Wow, I like that one.
Yeah, completely true. Okay. But if you had to...
And more importantly, you have to do something you don't really want to do.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, that's true. But because there'll be a lot of people right now who... potentially in jobs or potentially in relationships.
Potentially not in jobs.
Or potentially, or just in situations where they're just, you know, coasting through life. So how do you mentally, for those people, because you've been through it, how do you mentally get to a place, and everyone's is different, right, in all different scenarios, how do you mentally get to a place where you go, you know what, I'm going to do this? How do you get yourself there?
God, it's really, like, how do I almost, like, motivate myself?
Yeah, how do you motivate yourself to go, right, I'm going to do this?
It's so hard, I think I want to be the best version of myself. And I think I'm constantly like trying to improve, trying to be better, trying to do better shows, trying to meet better people, trying to just have a great quality of life. So I think that's what motivates me, is that like you can always grow and be better. I want to be really the best version of myself. So I think that's what does it for me.
Yes, Vicky Patterson. Yes, Vicky. Right, on that note, we're going to have France's question of the week. So, Francis, what is the question of the week?
So, a Newcastle question.
Oh, nice. We're going geographical.
What is the GDP per capita of Newcastle?
Good that we know what that means. So, the
GDP.
Yeah.
Is that a petrol garage? What the fuck?
the gross domestic product.
Oh,
so the
oh,
amount
of, oh. Yeah. Okay, that makes it easier for us. That makes it a hell of a
lot. I've been bitten since I've been here. I just want to point this out.
Oh, no.
Look. But
oh, gosh, but, that's, that does look like a bite of some sort.
Francis wanted to touch you. Oh, gosh, that does look like a bite of some sort.
That's all right.
Yeah, yeah. That's, have you been itching it?
Yes, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Probably Jamie's fleas.
Right,
yes,
sorry.
I have fleas that are jumping at me.
So
explain this to
okay,
us. What
so,
is it?
So the GDP per capita is mm-hmm. the total production of an economy,
mm-hmm.
so the economy of Newcastle,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Divided by the amount of people.
I'm still
struggling.
For
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
still,
yeah. Still tricky for me.
All
right.
Okay. Think of it like how much. Like think of it like how. What's
okay. Look at him getting frustrated. He can't explain it to us.
It's like trying to talk to monkeys.
Okay. So an economy produces a certain amount of. Product.
Oh, so produce. What product?
So the value of that product,
uh-huh.
The gross value,
mm-hmm.
so the, you know, the total value, let's say,
yeah,
that's the GDP.
Yeah.
And then you divide that by the population of Newcastle.
So are you looking like a number per head? Or
yeah, per head.
Oh.
Okay. So how much do people spend on produce per head?
No. How much is produced?
Per head.
By the economy of Newcastle.
Do you know what? I'm going to take a stab in the dark here. I don't think we're going to get it right. If I had to really stab in the dark there, I don't know.
Well, what? So are you asking sort of like what type of things we make? We make good cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
Think of it like...
And brown ale.
And the average salary...
Mm-hmm.
Of someone in Newcastle.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to say average salary like £12,000 a year.
Do you think £12,000 a year?
Jamie, please don't act like that.
Yeah, because I was going to say six.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to go. I
go
think,
and get in your fucking jet.
I think that it's got to be... It's got to be 20,000. It's got to be 20. The average. It's got to be 20,000.
Newcastle's got a reasonably big economy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, totally. So I think it's 20,000.
You think 20,000?
Yeah.
You think...
I mean, I'm just going to go with it. Yeah,
yeah, you go with it, Vicky.
Stick with it, first guess.
So if you think about it, so every person is contributing their, you know, in their job,
yeah.
mm-hmm. in an economy. How much value are they adding? Is each person adding to an economy?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to say, so 20,000 is mine.
So you can kind of, if you think about it, you know, you can kind of reduce the average salary from how much they're producing, and then
you're thrilled right now, aren't you?
This is not the direction I saw this taking. I thought you were going to be like, where's the best place to go?
Yeah.
I was going to get out my list.
All right, and then my next question is...
Oh, we've got two questions this week.
What is the best nightclub in Newcastle?
Tup Tup.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, Tup Tup.
Tup Tup Olivello.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that one much more.
Hey, on that note, Vicky, we're going to have my diary. So I'm going to read you my diary. Monday. I flew to Germany this week to visit my sweet factory that is out there. My business partner and I woke up at 4 a.m, jumped in the car and headed to the airport. 4 a.m is that time no one should be awake. There's witching hour and then there's 4 a.m. If you're still awake at 4 a.m, you're doing something wrong. And if you wake up at 4 a.m, you're making a mistake. We were late, so we arrived...
Mark Wahlberg.
We were late, so we arrived at the airport, checked in and hurriedly headed through security to get to our flight. As we went through, I honestly think my stomach dropped out my backside.
That's a horrible image. Why do you want to make us think of that?
To explain it more bluntly, I needed a shit, but not any kind of poo. One which is completely unprepared, unannounced, and one that you can't hold.
Why do you want to hold your poo?
I turned to Ed, sweating, pleading that we needed to make time to go to the toilet. We looked up at the board and saw the two words which every airport journeyman hate to see: gate closing. There was no time. We entered the flight. I was freaking out, sweating, and it was 5 a.m. What had happened? What had I eaten? The flight took off, and I was on the point of explosion. Honestly, thought I was going to have to shit into the sick bag.
Oh my God.
The seatbelt sign came off, and I ran to the loo to release everything. The problem was it wouldn't stop. You know you must be in there for a while when there's a knock on the door and the flight attendant asks if you're okay. Yes, I replied in a high-pitched tone. I finished and unlocked the door. Now, I've never seen a traffic jam on a flight, but I have now. The queue waiting for the bathroom were 10 people back. I apologised as I walked back to my seat. The worst thing was, 10 minutes later, I needed it again.
Oh, God.
Wait, so when was this?
Terrible. It was on Monday when I went to Germany.
Oh, God.
Honestly, I can't even tell you. And also, when you go into the bathroom and flight, do you not get scared when you press
the... Yeah, it's going to pull your anus out.
Maybe if I was scared I was pressing the wrong button.
Yeah, yeah, Francis sits on it with your...
What, they squat on it? The squatty potty.
Hey, hey Vic, that's the end of part one, but we've got you back for part two, which you're going to be super excited about.
I am always, always excited to be in your company. Oh. And you too, now, Francis.
Just huffing and puffing. See you in part two.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.